have something, don't you?
I don't, that's what I'm looking at. I know this is booked for 9 to 10.
So the main reason I wanted to get together is because Bobby is leaving in June. Mr. Christopher was unbelievably instrumental in compiling a lot of the financials and all of the data. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Compiling all the data, and so I'm trying to, I was on the other subcommittee before, so trying to help this side. This time, I'm totally unfamiliar with how, where all the data came from, but I know Mr. Christopher spent a lot of time with Tammy, and you obviously were part of that as well. So I just wanted to spend some time one-on-one with Bobby and you, just find out what's our best direction so that we can get the all the information we need. I mean, obviously it's to make sure it's being the efficacy and so forth.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it seems like there's a lot of manual effort in preparing the documents that you guys are getting. I mean, we got a full-time position that was actually two now that were,
Is that Jacob?
Added. Well, he's, Jacob left us. It's Kathy Miley.
Okay.
And a guy, Ryan, that's helping with the purchase orders. On the purchase order side, there's a lot of paperwork to handle all the purchases for the the extra millage. But, you know, I've always approached things, I want to have the system generate reports for us. I just want to hit a button, you know, have the same format, everybody get used to it, this is what it is.
Right.
And in the accounting system, the chart of accounts, it's too granular, I think, but it's extremely granular. So, you know, we can run a report that's going to tell us what we bought. In the chart of accounts, we've got a program field that can tell us which referendum bucket, we've got it both on the revenue and the expenditure side. We're showing where the revenue is going. Is it 51%, for example, for the teachers?
Correct.
8% for the AFSCME group.
AFSCME.
All those different buckets, we're tracking the revenue and the expenditures separately by a program code. And then there's another field that's the function code that says, you know, if it's for basic instruction or vocational or for media or construction, whatever, then there's a field for that is the object that tells us what we're actually buying. Are we buying salaries, benefits, supplies, technology, all those things? All that information is in the system. It has to be there when the purchase order is generated. And I would suggest that we look at utilizing system generated reports more than the lovely pie charts that you guys have been getting. I mean, I saw, you know, what a stack of documents that was presented to the oversight committee, and the amount of effort that went into preparing those documents.
Right. I would absolutely agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't think it, I mean, you know, just coming in and seeing it with fresh eyes, I would suggest that we utilize our time better.
Good. And that's what we want to do. And we're getting close to our deadlines too.
But I don't want anybody to say, hey, what happened to the, you know, beautiful pie chart that we used to get? I'm not getting it anymore. I mean, we can throw that.
Well, if the information is clear and easy, I don't think anybody needs pictures if we can.
That's what I would.
But it is for the public as well. Mm-hmm. It's a report to the school board, but we also the district. But we have to make sure it's something that the public can pick up on easily.
Now, we do have the dashboard that's getting ready to kick off. Finance, I don't remember when the rollout is, but it's supposed to pull all this stuff in and provide all the graphical information on our website. And there, you know, that might alleviate some of the manual labor.
Yeah. I don't want to say it should be easy today, but I mean, we know what money is coming in through the village, and mm-hmm. then we know where the percentages are supposed to be spent. That's what we have to.
That's the easy part. The
Absolutely.
Hard part is connecting it to
results.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially on the employee side. You know, are we retaining? Are we recruiting?
Right.
You know, anecdotally, if we didn't have that extra $5,000 for teacher salaries, would we
have trouble hiring?
Yeah, and I would assume yes.
Okay.
You sit in a corner?
Because you were late, you sit in a corner.
I did send an email.
I know, we heard.
I was stuck in traffic.
You know, people could just go down, you know, 15 miles south.
Right, right. And that was the whole purpose of it, is to be competitive with our neighboring counties.
Yep.
And that's what we've got to prove, is that by doing this, did it reduce our turnover? Did it reduce our vacancies?
And I know that's going to be difficult to prove.
Yeah, we've got a whole other.
Well, I mean, you know, with COVID and everything, right. the world is completely different. You know, it's an apple and a lawnmower.
Right. I don't disagree. And we discussed that at the last meeting that I was at the end of the year, at the end of 2020. And we just decided the best we can do is just keep measuring it so we have the information and slap an asterisk on it and say, we all know COVID was happening, but at least we have the data.
And Tim, our first report, our first year we did it, was we have no data. I mean, we're building, mm-hmm. Here's where we're starting. So we went back a year and said, okay, here's where we're starting, but obviously you had nothing to report the first year. The second year we had just built this, and here's our bar and here's where we are. And now we've got the big, as you say, asterisk on the third year's report. But we still need to show, because obviously this is an important year.
So I'm big on data. I'm big on being efficient with the data.
Right.
You know, so it's whatever, you know, you guys, I guess, are going to drive what we do. But I would make some suggestions. If I see something that's inefficient, I want to suggest that we maybe take a different.
Yeah, I don't want them generating reports for paperwork's sake. And I want you guys to produce things for us and say, here, this will help your efforts.
I mean, for example, another example is, you know, we've got somebody that's entering information into a spreadsheet about a particular purchase order that is explaining why that particular item is being purchased. You know, instead of it just being technology is being purchased, why is this technology being purchased? And that's, you know, great information. Is it worth the cost?
Right.
To have that additional.
And is that for our committee?
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to that.
I mean, Kathy's position was created to do that. And she's being pulled off on other things. I'm glad that we have her, because we've got a number of vacancies that we haven't filled. You know, when we thought that, you guys know about the executive orders and the whole harmless funding. You know, our enrollment's down for sure. And the governor's executive order for the first semester was, we're going to fund you at the original projection. And so that was
at full FTE that you were expecting.
Yeah, that allowed us to pause. But then looking at second semester, we were expecting that we were going to be funded on actual enrollment. And so we were looking at a $15, $16 million shortfall. And so there's a hiring freeze on all non-instructional positions. And that has affected, finance is down 4, 5, 6 positions. It's kind of cloudy because some of them were allocated but were never filled. But, you know, my finance director is screaming she needs help. My budget director is screaming she needs help. My purchasing director is screaming she needs help. And I'm just like.
And you have a freeze.
Hold on. But so Kathy has been kind of pulled into finance to help out a little bit. And so, you know, her effort into adding this additional information into an Excel spreadsheet for the committee's benefit is probably straining.
But are they doing that so that if we ask a question, they'll be able to answer it? Or, I mean, because that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, no, I think it was more just, the term overkill comes to mind, just, you know, and I've mentioned this to Mrs. Foreman, there's fear here in this organization. People are afraid of the external opinion. And so it's almost like, okay, we've got to go overboard to prove that what we're buying is what we said we're going to buy and it's benefiting the district. And that's pretty much why that effort was
right, and there was scrutiny about what falls under that capital expenditure and what qualifies as a capital expenditure versus operational right. expenditure.
So is it instructional and
right.
so yeah.
So I have a feeling it's a bit reactionary in response to how heavily
to
that
was
scrutinized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I can see where they're coming from, and it's unfortunate that they're having to get such into the weeds on each individual.
You know, and I mean, so as long as the requisition on the front end has detail, we can pull that out of the system at any point in time. You know, but to grab that.
Yeah, it would take less time to go back and.
For every purchase put into a spreadsheet. And I'm not, you know, I haven't gotten into it all that much because, you know, my role on this committee is just now changing. Mr. Wagner's going to shift and, you know, have focus. He's just getting slammed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the superintendent asked for me to assist. And, you know, that my first observation was, wow, look at all the effort.
Look at what we're, yeah.
Yeah. I would prefer not to do that. But we don't, you know, I don't want to do anything that's going to diminish, that's going to have the committee say, well, hold on a second, what are you guys doing? I'm kind of repeating myself now.
That's okay. I just don't know when we've used that information in the 2+ years we've had the committee, if ever.
I think just in what we were just referencing. Yeah.
The robotics at the...
Exactly.
So, I mean, if we're doing that for...
back on like the science lab stuff and mm-hmm. just... capital expenditure versus operational expenditure, yeah. Probably put everyone on their heels.
So I can generate a very quickly a report that will show exactly what we're buying, function, object, program. I can show the revenues, you know, multi-year history, easy to update. And if we can take a look at those and maybe consider using those as a substitute for the, you know, the current docs.
How do you show what's been bought using millage? I mean, in that exact, if we're looking at STEM expenditures, you know.
I wasn't sure what this meeting was about. If you give me 5 minutes, I can go print an example.
Sure, and then Bobby and I can.
Okay. That's what, that's the current.
No, it's last year.
Well, so this is all manual.
This is, yeah.
Look at that.
It looks very manual.
I mean, look at that. So let me go grab a report that I did that took about 5 minutes.
Okay, good.
So I'll be right back. Excuse me. Hi.
I feel bad because it's not exactly what we were asking for, but it was so above and beyond. Oh, thank you. Yep, these are familiar.
For the record, can I ask who he is? I'm sorry.
Tim Bargeron.
The financial officer.
He is the CFO of the district. I believe is his title. Is that
okay.
Correct? Do you know?
Associate Superintendent of Finance.
Okay. If he were in the business world, he'd be CFO.
Right. Right.
Associate Superintendent of Finance.
I like what he's saying though, because my whole thing was, I just want an Excel table with this information about how many job postings are there, what are the teacher vacancies, that sort of thing,
right?
As opposed to this overproduced, over-engineered pamphlet.
Yeah. Especially if this is just being done for us.
Right.
And it's...
Well, that's the other side of it, too, is... At least for the data analytics and like looking at the efficacy of this program, I don't think that there should be anything that's done just for us. Because
yes.
I think there's things that like I would hope the district is looking at themselves. And so I would want to see what Tim looks at to measure the outcomes.
Right.
Even if there is this whole asterisk on the numbers this year.
But I mean, you can't point everything to that. I mean,
You
can't asterisk it, but you can't say, well, okay, well, I mean, we still need to see, you're right, I mean, but you still need to see where we are versus last year.
Right.
You know, is the increase in pay helping? Because that's the, 51% of the millage is going to teacher salaries. I think that's what the emphasis of the millage is. And then the other, what I mean, is 8% is going, and 8, 6, 14. I mean, the majority is going towards salaries, so that's
right.
What it's about.
And the other measuring the other pieces is just about measuring compliance, I think, at least as far as our role goes.
And can't you compare our numbers to the rest of the state? If the rest of the state is down 18%, we can say that's due to COVID, and we're only down 4%, I would say that the pay is effective. You know, then you've got a constant, because COVID is in Hillsborough as well as it is here, as we very well know. So, but we're paying more, so if their vacancy rates are 18% and ours are only 4%, then we're doing something. Or, you know, they have dropped that much more than they were last year, and ours have only dropped a little bit. I would say that there's some efficacy of the...
Right, and so that'll be another challenge for us, is pulling in the statewide data.
Yes.
Thoughts?
Are we allowed to talk?
Yeah.
Did they put a gag order on you?
You did.
Only in our big meetings. This is a workshop.
I'm just behaving myself. I'm not a member. No, one of the things, there are two different sets of reports there that I gave you guys. One of the things I noticed looking through the big one, which is a spreadsheet, it does give the reasoning or the justification for the purchases. There are a lot of things I would just raise your awareness that I am not sure you're going to need to look at the difference between what has to be capitalized. In other words, what should have come out of sales tax or capital funds versus operating, because there are things in there, you know, like the 3D printers. There's some large expenditures in there, and I'll just raise that for you to take a look at.
And is that where we got into? I mean, those are more STEM related than...
This is all STEM. I had asked Doug Wagner for a report of what's been spent on STEM, and he gave that to me. And it's very, very detailed. It's great. I love it, but anyway. So that was a concern. And then also, when I looked at it, I questioned, and I'll ask Tim about it, but there's a lot of purchases of computers. So there are computers.
And is that because of COVID, so that every kid had a device?
No.
These are not devices?
No, because that would be reimbursed from the CARES Act.
Okay.
You know, the Chromebooks. Yeah. There's also a item in the sales surtax that's for, they call it the central computer. In other words, they have a system, a rotation of replacing all the computers in the district over like a 5-year period or whatever. So, and that's in the capital, that's in sales surtax. Suddenly in here, you got a bunch of computers, and when you look through the detail, you'll see it. Tons of them. And the justification was that the computers weren't robust enough to run Adobe. And so the skeptic in me, my antenna went up. So
you're saying the computers are on a recycle program as they age out. They just recycle them into getting
and that's
more updated.
And that's
versions.
Normal, I mean.
And that's
right,
normal.
And that would be
and
a
that's
different.
That's in the capital.
Right, that's in capital.
That's in capital. This is operating.
But okay, so you see these computers popping up in operational funds now?
Well, that's what Village is supposed to be used for, is operational.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So I would just like to have a conversation with Tim about that and understand why.
When I was going through the budget at SCF, I mean, every meeting it's, you know, disposal of equipment, and I see all these laptops, and I'm like, holy, you know, but that's what it is. They have so many, refurbishing or, you know, replacing on a 3 to 5 year.
So this is 50,000 foot view, definitely. This is something I put together. One of the unions asked for the history on the referendum. So I put this together before I even knew that that other document existed. You know, so this was system generated, very easy. And then this is the detail that was behind it. This is a pivot table that I put together that shows, in our accounting system, 14715 STEM referendum, that's a program code. So this report has by program code, but then it also shows by object, which is what was purchased. And again, you know, there's also an element in the accounting system that's called function that says, was it for basic instruction, vocational, whatever. So all this is, this is sitting in our accounting system. It can be pulled very quickly. It doesn't have nearly the level of detail as Mrs.
Right.
Foreman's report. But, you know, this is the push of a button.
Yeah. I actually
so if we can get a balance somewhere in between.
Tim, you obviously could do this report for each of these
numbers. Yeah, no, this is probably 10 pages long. I just only...
Right, no, I'm with you.
I can, if we could develop something that meets the needs. I'm repeating myself, I know.
No, but, and then if we send this out to the committee 2 weeks before for, you know, a period ending, whatever it is before our meeting, then everybody can review it. Mm-hmm. And that way, it'll be a lot more efficient.
Absolutely.
Oh, big time.
And then they'll have questions and say, hey, can I see more of whatever?
Yeah, and that's where it gets into, do we manage it on the front end to make sure that Ryan, the guy who's doing the requisitions for the referendum, he puts the information in to PeopleSoft. And so, you know, then if somebody says, okay, well, I want to see, you know, for program 14716, non-capitalized FF&E, object code 46, and there's, I only printed the first two digits, I think there's four other digits there. Mm-hmm. I mean,
right.
The system is really, really granular.
Yeah.
You know, we can print, get a report that shows every requisition, every purchase order that was charged against that, and, you know, if we're doing the effort on the front end, then there should be that detail on that requisition or purchase order. Is this what you wanted to talk about today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm just—it was a combination of what we need to get from the district, but also how can we streamline it to make it a report that makes,
easy.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be legible for people that don't go granular as well. I mean, it's fine to, but then they can ask. You know, I'd like to see the textbooks if that's what it is, or computers broken down more. And you can get that, but instead of sending out 1,000 pages and trying to do that, that's too much information.
I mean, a full packet for each one of these program codes, you know, it's a full-time job.
Yeah.
And the person's salary is being charged to the referendum. So, you know,
right.
free up that time, stop charging to the referendum, and we provide more resources for schools.
Absolutely. You had any ideas about the best way to measure teacher vacancies? Because that's something that we've struggled with along the way.
Right now, no, not at all. I mean, we have 350 vacancies, not all instructional, but there's just a ton of vacancies right now.
Is there a report to tell you that number?
It's coming out of HR. I saw an update this morning. We are implementing position control in PeopleSoft. It's supposed to kick off July 1st. The reason that's a big push for me is because that's a component. We have to have position control in place for us to be able to get payroll encumbrances, which I don't know if I've mentioned to you guys before, but that is an extremely helpful budgeting tool. I'm accustomed, after every payroll, in the last 25 years of my career, after every payroll, I would run a payroll encumbrance program that would go out and look at, you know, my salary, how much have I been paid to date. It would look at that gap and it would create a purchase order for every employee, including benefits. And so I would know after every payroll exactly what my spend was going to be through year end. We can't do that here yet. And the position control piece is step one in getting to payroll encumbrance. In fact, what's mind-boggling is that for our hourly people, most of the AFSCME union representatives, PeopleSoft assumes they work 52 weeks a year, 40 hours a week, and they don't.
Right.
And that's what if I pull a report and look at annual contract. correct, that number is in there. So it's inflating what our actual spend is going to be, and there's no solution for it. I mean, you know, there was a presentation on the ERP system that's working better now than it was 3 years ago, and that is accurate, but the system was never designed for K-12. It is not a K-12 system. And that's one of the drawbacks.
With 10 pays or whatever versus a
52-week. Right. So, you know, it's assuming, what is that, 2,080 hours, it's assuming that they all work that, and so it's overstating that, and I'm going off on a tangent, but.
Will the position control help to record vacancies?
The position control should help with the vacancy reporting, yes. It's pretty much a spreadsheet right now, I think. And our allocation, we finished doing the teacher allocations for 21-22, what is today, Tuesday, on Friday. And it's all spreadsheet based. So we're trying to get PeopleSoft to help us with that a little bit more. You know, I want one data set. Right now I got a spreadsheet. You know, we have a position that's staffing allocations. She manages the spreadsheet. HR has two or three clerks that have, you know, paper and notebooks and then, you know, when we've done the effort to reconcile the two, we've come very close, so we know the data on both sides is, you know, similar, very, very close, but still, you know, it's an inefficiency, and it creates an opportunity for us to have a disconnect. Mm-hmm. So we should have position by July.
So in the past, Tim, we've asked about vacancies, and I believe Jacob had said, you know, that report comes out every Monday. Don't quote me on the date, but comes out on X day or the third of the month or whatever it may be. I think what we need is that data going backwards as well. And so what we were talking while you were out was, yes, COVID is affecting vacancies, but if we break it down by AFSCME, paraprofessionals, et cetera, and we can see, then we can get data from surrounding counties as well and say, well, our vacancies are at 25%. Last year they were 10%. We're going the wrong way, but we've dropped 15%. But if everybody around us has dropped a hell of a lot more than we have, then we're doing what we want the village to do.
Sure.
So I think the vacancies is a huge.
Well, since most of the money is going into salary for sure.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, if we can show that the village is doing what it's supposed to do and reducing vacancies, keeping our, you know, reducing turnover, that's a big part of it.
But I'm not sure what we can grab. I'm not sure where, you know, where the data sits right now. But if I can take the resources that are being used to prepare that report and shift it over to looking at historical vacancies, you know, that might be a better use of time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
How do you measure teacher retention, or do you have a process in place for that? Because for our previous report, I had worked with Jacob and we'd kind of developed this process, but I don't know if it's anything official per se. So I'm wondering if the district itself has better resources for measuring teacher retention.
I'll have to talk to Wendy in HR. I mean, you know, the data that I have available, you know, I can data mine in the human capital management database, and I can, you know, identify start date. You know, I can tell you how long somebody's been here, but if somebody leaves, if 10 people leave, why did they leave? You know, I know there's supposed to be an exit interview. Yeah, type thing, but I don't know if we're doing that. And I know those are hard to grab too, because, you know, former district, I didn't really care if they knew why I left or not.
But I think they were trying to get it from both sides. You know, the principal knows why they left, if it's not a principal issue. I mean, if Mrs. Jones came and said, you know, my husband and I are moving to Sheboygan, the principal knows that's mm-hmm. why they're leaving. If Mrs. Jones is leaving because the principal's been a pain in the keister, she's not going to report that,
right.
Or he's not going to report that, or, you know. But you can still, I mean, some of that information could be. We never heard from Mrs. Jones, and then the principal or someone else could say, she left because you ran her off, or she and her husband moved to Sheboygan. So, I mean, there's ways to get some information.
Yeah.
I mean, we have it in our restaurant, you know, we like to do exit interviews, and you want to know, you know, do I have a bad manager?
Right, right.
Running people off because they're blah, blah. So, Cindy.
Is there an opportunity that Mrs. Jones left, but we don't know why?
Call her.
There you go.
And yeah, there's not a lot. I mean,
right.
It's it's the.
But I mean, we want to know, was it because she wasn't getting paid enough in her mind,
right.
in her perception? I don't. For what I'm doing, I'm not getting paid enough.
Or
that's what we need to know in our situation.
And or was it the work environment that she did not?
Yeah, I didn't have
for,
the tools I needed.
Right. Right.
So, the financial data is in the system, easily pulled, easy to generate a report that can answer lots and lots of questions. These questions, we're kind of missing the data. So again, if I can reallocate some resources to try to get this data, you know, maybe that'll work.
Yeah. I mean, that is data that our whole committee needs.
Yeah,
I mean, that's the whole crux of what we're doing.
Yeah. Do you know like what information we were looking at before with Jacob?
I've seen vacancy reports. I mean, I know, and I've had one.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot here. I just mean, would it be helpful for me to provide you a list of the things that we've been trying to measure?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Sure. Well, and probably the first committee that I listened, that you know, I participated in, you guys were talking about that. You were talking about the difficulties in getting, you know, data to support the position that, yes, the referendum has helped us retain, helped us recruit. So I was, you know, I'm aware of
some of the struggles.
Yeah, yeah. But
it does seem, I mean, you said you're going to have this July 1st. It seems like everything is, well, we're changing this. We can get that moving forward. We've got to do a report for
yeah,
last
that's
year.
That's a great point.
Not from July moving forward.
Right.
Okay. So, number one focus is going to be recruitment, retention, you know, what kind of data do we have, what kind of exit information
and
do
information
we have,
from the
and
exits.
If we don't have it, can we get it?
Right, and that's something that needs to be distributed to the committee
mm-hmm.
every 2 months. Even if there's no information, we had no one leave the district in October, November, that's still information to find out. I mean, that's a great report.
Right. Some of the other items.
I mean, that's just you know, HCM data mining with a termination date.
Yeah. It should be easy. I mean.
Yeah, you think. I'll say it shouldn't be. But, yeah.
Some of the other things you've considered as well is the number of teachers with advanced degrees, average number of years of teaching experience, and the number of first-year teachers versus experienced teachers.
What was the best and the brightest we were tracking as well?
That got that's so noggled. Like,
did it?
Yeah, because they kept changing criteria to qualify.
So it went like apples to apples when you started
right.
looking?
Well, that funding stream vanished anyway.
I thought it stopped.
Yeah.
Sure.
It did.
And so, it stopped becoming a thing.
Okay.
So.
And wasn't that based on SAT scores? And
yeah.
Yeah, that kind of, yeah, I was out of the state for a couple of years, so. Stop trying.
It was an interesting program, it seemed.
There was teacher retention by school grade, but I don't know how much that's.
Once we were looking at teacher retention, I married that with school grades that I pulled from the Department of Education website.
Okay.
So I was just able to like do some more interesting stuff with the data once I had the raw information.
That's interesting. You know, is it the more experienced teachers help the school with their school grade, or does the school grade attract experienced teachers?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Very, very tough to make a direct connection.
I was talking about that with Doug, because he wanted it, he asked if it could be presented on kind of a broad strokes level and not to call out any individual schools, just so that like schools that had low letter grades that also showed that they didn't have higher attention, you're not just kicking them while they're down. Because they know that they don't have higher attention and they're trying to improve that. And then calling them out by name wasn't necessarily gonna help the problem. Yeah, it's a chicken or the egg type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a teacher, where would I prefer to teach? Well, also, you know, when we had the school recognition funds, that wasn't funded this year either. But, you know, if a school gets an A grade, you know, those teachers are getting, I don't know, $1,200. Hmm. And if you look at the socioeconomics underlying those A-rated schools,
and where's that $1,200 coming from? General funds, that's not coming from?
It's a categorical type allocation.
But it doesn't come from the village?
No.
Okay.
No, that's a state program that was introduced years and years ago, but it really pushes teachers away from the more challenging schools. I mean, you know, it might not be, it's hard to deny that underlying socioeconomics of the student population have an effect on a school grade.
Right.
Really hard to deny that. Some people, you know, want to, but you know, the whole school recognition thing should have been in the reverse. You
right.
know, reward teachers that are going mm-hmm. to the toughest schools.
Because mm-hmm. that's where you need them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, yeah, I have a 19-year-old son and his schools were always A-rated, but that's because, you know, all the parents cared about, you know, in the neighborhood, all the parents cared about the children and, you know,
and the education of
them. Reading to him when he was 6 months old. And,
right.
you know, you go to another community and you have kids that show up to school without breakfast. You know.
We saw that with our reading program, because last year when we did it virtually, we didn't get as many of the Title I kids because they didn't have the ability or the bandwidth or, you know, the internet to get on. And so we had more of the affluent kids, and you can tell, I mean, their grades and our results were better than the year before. Is that saying we did a better job? No, we started with a better kid.
Yeah. It's a difficult conversation to have, but, you know, to not have it is not being realistic.
Yeah.
Could I say something about that?
Yes.
If I could. I think, you know, part of this whole program should be, if we have, you know, schools that are at a lower grade level, we should be focusing more on those schools to bring them up through maybe this program. I'd like to know more about why are the lower grade schools having such a struggle. And I know it's the economics. I came from a background like that, so I know the effects of going to school without breakfast and not having a parent read to me. So focusing on that, I think, would be a good thing. I don't know that I went through all of this.
But I think that's, you know, the school board's decision,
right,
to use money differently towards the
right.
CDF schools. I don't know if it's a millage.
I understand.
My ex was a teacher at a Title I school, so we had these conversations quite often.
Yeah.
Kids would come to school, you know, in the middle of winter, they'd come to school in shorts and just very
yeah.
sad.
Yeah.
Now, another component, though, of, you know, how these funds are spent is union support.
Right.
You know, we try to shift some of that 51% away from the teachers.
Yeah,
they can support it.
Right.
Right now, we had AFSCME negotiations last week, and they're saying they're not going to support a renewal of the referendum. It's like, what are you talking about? Why would you not support it? You guys are getting a dollar per hour added. Their response, and sorry if I'm going too far off, but their response was, well, the previous superintendent said that the dollar would continue regardless.
It was an additional dollar every year, and their interpretation was a dollar this year, $2, $3, $4.
But yeah, there's another piece to that, is they were told that if the referendum didn't renew, they would continue to get that dollar.
Yeah.
So
that's been a big PR.
So
messaging.
So my recommendation to them is, bless you, is they need to approach it similarly to how the teachers did, and that is get a percentage of it, because if it is renewed, you know, it's based on the taxable value, so it's the revenue stream is going to do this. So why not get a percentage of this increasing amount instead of a flat dollar amount? So you guys need to support it, but you need to negotiate a different piece of the pie. And they were listening to that, but you know, I don't know.
Does the money have to be distributed equally? I.e., if you've got 51%, if you have $20 million for teachers, and you've got 200 teachers, do they each have to get?
It's
1/200th.
Yep, that's how it's prorated for the teachers.
So you can't go in and say we're going to give the F school teachers 5 shares, 4 shares, 3 shares, 2 shares.
I think it could be designed however the board wants it to be designed.
I know there's nowhere in the referendum that says it will be equally distributed.
It just has to be 51% teachers, but all 51% could go to one teacher.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It could. Or all 51 could go to all the deaf teachers.
I don't think the 51% was even in the referendum.
It was not in the referendum.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Very general, very, very high level language, you know, increase in structural support or whatever it was. I looked at it in a while. But so I guess it was negotiated to get the support, from the employee groups.
Yeah.
So any change?
Are we supposed to show that for the extra half hour of the day and then after school tutoring, are we supposed to be able to prove that's how the money was spent? Is there a way to prove that?
That might have been something that Bob Christopher was looking at, of comparing.
Because in the referendum, that is specifically in there. There'll be an extra half hour, there will be after school tutoring, and blah, blah, blah. Can we show that there truly is? I mean, is there a way to show that there truly is an extra half hour every day?
I mean they should be presenting their timesheets that say I was there from 7:30 to 3:30 or whatever.
It's probably one of these object codes, you know, on the second sheet. I have to look at it though, it's just that I didn't print the whole thing. But I know we have, there's a lot more detail, like regular pay, there's a lot more detail. I rolled it all up into, just a two-digit character.
Right.
But there's, you know, regular pay for all kinds of different employees. So let me see what I can find on the extra half hour on the expense part. Actually, what I think I'll do is I'm going to take this report and I'm going to leave it at its most detailed level, and I'm going to email it to you guys.
Just the one section?
I'm going to email this entire spreadsheet that has all of the really, you know.
Minutia?
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
And that way you can take a look at it and say, hey, Tim, I think it would be better if we looked at it this way.
Okay. This is a PDF.
And then let's see what kind of data I can get on.
You want the PDF, not the Excel?
Well,
yeah. I love me a good Excel file.
I end up taking too much time making it look so I can read better, but instead of looking at the numbers.
That would be great. Yeah. So
kind
of that list we went over earlier of just the various like recruitment and retention metrics. I know it's challenging, but kind of tying it back to what we were talking about with the financial system, hopefully we can get to a point where it's just clicking a button on a report that's able to generate and get spit out of the system easily enough.
Well, the position control, and still in the future, but it has a unique position number. Every position has a unique position number. So, you know, if that was in place 3 years ago,
we'd have all this.
Boom, right? Show me, yeah. Whatever position number, show me how many, what the churn has been in that position. So the capability will be there in the future. It's very manual to look back, but I need to talk to HR and see what they have.
Well, it's encouraging nonetheless that like things are getting put in place to be able to measure this stuff. We can't go back in time and have people do this because we're asking for it now, but
But there were vacancy reports. There always
have
been vacancy
reports. We do
have
vacancy reports. The only, I just wanted, a vacancy report that I got 3 or 4 months ago had 800 and something vacancies on it. I was like, there's no way this is accurate. Come to find out, any teacher who had gone to a charter school was in the system as being on leave, even though they're not our employee any longer, and so they were showing up on this vacancy report. So, okay, folks, let's change our practice, our process, and let's exclude charter school teachers from our vacancy report and drop the number from 800 to 300 something.
Right.
So it's kind of how, you know, I've got
to look. Do you know how that's calculated, what those are based off of?
What?
Like, how did it arrive at that 300 number? Is it based on job postings?
It's based on, well, see, the allocations are in a spreadsheet, so it's an off PeopleSoft process, I believe.
I thought the principals were reporting how many vacancies to the district office, and then they were.
This is all handled by HR, so I'm not. The staffing allocation person does report to me, but you know, she's got the total. She's got the full allocation. If we, you know, if we had full employment, capacity, she would have that number. So the gap between what her number is and what's actually, you know, employed, I'm not sure where that is coming from. So I'll have to talk to HR.
Yeah. Right, because something like does exist somehow, somewhere, but we haven't been able to pin down like what it is exactly or what the most reliable sources are. Because before, people were trying to give us the vacancies as just the job postings. But then when there's stuff like hiring freezes, we don't get a true sense for what the vacancies are.
Well, and with job postings also, I want to say there's like a generic, like a pool job posting, which isn't going to give us, I need to do some more research on this issue.
Because those are very, I mean, they're important statistics.
Yeah, I mean, like, do we have
our report?
Do we have, you know, 15 bus driver postings out there, or do we just have a generic bus driver posting because we never have enough bus drivers? And you know, I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. But it sounds like a vacancy report does exist.
I saw a vacancy number this morning.
Okay.
It's 300 and something.
And how often do you get that?
I don't know why I got it this morning. Well, I got it from budget. So my budget director is working with HR. A lot of inefficiencies still, you know. But I definitely know what we need to do to provide evidence that the referendum is helping the district.
And that to me is the most important thing, that you're producing that to us, so that when we have our committees, we can talk and have that information.
And the purpose of the committee is to independently validate that the expenditures that we are incurring using referendum dollars,
that they're coming in and then they're being spent according to the way are, and that there's some efficacy that we are getting results for.
Right.
The grades are improving, the students are improving, the turnover is lowering.
And one and two are super easy. The third one is really more difficult to answer.
Yeah. I'm sorry, it was Johnny Nando's. What was the third
just
one?
The money.
Are we getting results?
Are we getting results? Yeah. Right. Spending it in the right area is easy to tell. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's easy to get a report to tell.
So in cabinet yesterday, I saw a video. They're starting to put together videos that show what we're spending the money on. It was a really cool anatomy software that students are using. You know, one of the, like a pre-med academy or something. I don't recall which school it was. So really cool, you know, promotional type thing, but to link that to improve school grade, improve retention, recruitment, everything, that's just good. That's a difficult thing to do.
Right. And in our reports, we do include some qualitative stuff. like the WAS program.
Yeah.
We can't slap a number on it, but we can say this wouldn't have happened if not for this referendum and the explicit focus on improving our STEM education. And so we do include some of that type of thing, but.
Well, and then the STEM fair that they had at MTC last year.
Oh yeah.
Or was that before COVID? Before COVID.
Yeah.
Was a direct
result of, this.
Result of the referendum monies.
So when you do encounter things like that, it's good to make note of it and make sure the committee's aware of it so we can include it. But yeah, our big challenge is gonna be getting these other metrics like routinely and simply without it being a huge onerous task.
So,
yeah, I mean, the bulk of the money is definitely going into program 14720, you know, instructional staff referendum, so that's the 51%.
Right. So can you set it up so this report generates every 2 weeks and can be sent?
I can, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, automatically sent, so maybe just it emails to me or you or both, or?
Let me, you talking about this one? You want additional detail? Because I was going to send you, these are the same spreadsheet. This
right,
is
if you
this
can.
This table that summarizes it. So just take a look at it and see if there's anything that is in the more detailed information that you would like added to this.
Yeah.
And
then, okay. And maybe it's, I mean,
but I send it to Amanda, should I send it to you and then you send it out to the committee members? Is that?
It's fine, you can send it directly if you would prefer.
Because I don't have an email, is there a?
I think we all have Manatee School emails.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You can send to me, I can distribute, that's fine.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking for now, on a weekly basis, so we're not overloading it, just to the committee.
As long as it's routine.
I mean, every Monday, so.
Let's automate it.
And what, you want it weekly?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
That way it's just.
Here it is.
Used to come in and we can look at it. Mm-hmm. And then before the meetings, we can formulate what we want to send to everybody before and say, here's where we are. Mm-hmm. And we'll send it to Amanda so she can send out to everybody before.
Cool. Any other questions you have for me, John, since you're taking over data analytics?
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Odd man out.
So are you moving?
I am.
Yeah, okay, that's what I recall.
Philadelphia.
Have you learned teams yet?
wait. What's the weather up there right now?
Right?
Ooh, too cold. Too cold.
And the Eagles stand.
Oh, but they got rid of Carson Wentz, so
yeah,
things
so
are improving.
Yeah. I just wanted to know really what Mr. Christopher was doing, and is it that what we need to move forward doing? But it doesn't sound like it. I mean, we don't need to do as much data mining. And
he was doing a lot.
Yeah.
He was doing more than most would be capable of.
Right.
I wasn't on his committee, so I do the data analytics, and he did the income and deployment stuff. And so I wasn't in the weeds with him.
Okay.
Like Steve Servin was the other one on that committee with him.
Yeah.
And Steve's also not on our committee anymore.
Right, right. And that's why I was worried that we're losing the institutional knowledge of
right.
the people and that were doing a lot of the mining.
But, you know, big picture, though, going back to the purpose of the committee, one and two, those are, it's easy to provide you with that information for you to be able to say, you know, here's where the money came in, here's where it was spent. And, you know, that's the, if I, you know, recall the charter, the bylaws, whatever you know, your governing rules are, that was the primary purpose. Being able to link it to improve student performance and recruitment and retention, those types of things, that will be more challenging. I know I'm repeating myself again, but you know, we can certainly very easily and efficiently get you the information to say, yeah, this is what they spent the money on, this is what the district said they were going to spend the money on, and they did. Because that's ultimately, you know, you're supposed to provide an annual report to the board.
Right.
Yeah, I have that chart right here.
The referendum?
The charter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the purpose of the committee really is at that higher level, right? Mm-hmm. Just, an attestation that, yeah, they spent the money on what they said they were going to spend it on.
But part of it is communication as well. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to take that report and make sure the community.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, because if not, you know, if the committee doesn't support a renewal.
Correct.
Right. Where does that leave the citizens?
Right, yeah. If the committee comes out and says, we don't think we've had good results, obviously we're going to say the money came in and the money went out and it went out to the proper percentages, but we got no results if that's what we find. I wouldn't put a lot of stock in the continuance.
Right, right, right.
Not that we have any say. Mine with you, Bobby, is just, I mean, what, putting the report together, but we'll be doing that before you're away, so
right.
I mean, we may need another one of these that we can sit down and...
So to actually do the work, I can try to put out an information request to Tim and see if we can get some updated things just to be a continuation of last year's report. More or less, which I don't know if you have a copy of that available to you.
I don't recall seeing that. Is it the one that you sent to the board?
Yes.
Yes.
It's on the website. Sure.
Gosh, but some of the stuff we aren't even going to be able to do, like the comparisons to school by letter grade, since did they not assign letter grade last year?
Tim, I just sent it to you with no.
I mean, I know there's testing that's in the spring, but yeah, last, you know, with the shutdown last year.
Yeah, they decided not to assign schools grades.
Which is why the school recognition.
And if you have any other ideas like this, I'm happy for this to be like a two-way street. If you have things that you think we should be looking at that we're not, I'm all ears.
Well, I mean, just, I mean, personally, I think it's, I love the conversation about let's shift more money to the more challenging schools. That would be tough to accomplish, I think, but I think it's a great idea.
I mean, it can be a recommendation if the committee, I mean, we'll bring it up to the committee without a doubt that, mm-hmm. you know, instead of doing an equitable,
but on a head count.
Yeah.
Right.
Shift a little bit more. I know, but like 10 years ago, Palm Beach County did a study showing how multi-millions had been spent just giving money to the teachers that were at the easiest schools.
Well, when I get to internet, you'll get that. I put it to send out to you.
Okay.
From my school email. It keeps asking me if I trust your Wi-Fi here. So if we get that, I think we can get started on ours. Bobby, don't you think? If we start getting these, it'll help us tremendously.
I'll shoot you the... Now this was, I don't have the date on here. I don't remember when I last updated this, but I'm just gonna ship this one to you just so you can look at the detail that's in there. I'm not gonna update it.
Okay.
And then
sounds great.
That way, you know, you say, hey, I think we should include this also in that. That way I can modify that before I send out the first weekly report. And I have historical vacancies, retention, data mined by termination date to see if we can get any sense of historical turnover that way, and then teacher experience and degree levels. Some historical data on that, I'll see what I can get.
Thank you. And if you want an idea of how we did it last year, in the report that John just sent you, there is a paragraph that starts retention calculation process. And there, we kind of outlined how we arrived at our retention numbers. You might read that and be like, wow, this is so convoluted and makes no sense. Or you might read it and be like, okay, I guess we have to recreate that. Just be curious to see, get your thoughts on it.
Well, I can data mine in HCM, so. And I'm, you know, Jacob, right now we're not refilling his position, but I've been able to replicate his reports.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so if I get an idea of what data elements we were using, I can pull those.
Mm-hmm. I think I should have some of those available still somewhere. Anything else? Cindy?
I'm good.
Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely.